life. There are three quotes at the beginning of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, that is the first content text following the title pages. They are as follows. 1. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's from John 8. 2. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. 3. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest. Thou here and everywhere. Mary Baker G. Eddy. These three quotes basically outline what we should be seeking as we read the textbook. This is different than any other religion or any other science, because no science explains what it means by you shall be free. A lot of sciences pursue truth from their top researchers, but they don't know what truth really is in terms of it really being God, which includes God's manifestation. It doesn't matter whether you're studying mathematics, physics, chemistry, rocket science, a homemaker, a teacher. It doesn't matter what you're involved in. You could be in a hobby. But there's a principle involved in everything that you're involved with. And you must know the principle if you're going to excel at what you're doing. And that's what we all should be doing. Mary Baker Eddy stated that the reason Jesus was able to demonstrate the divine was because he excelled at the human. In other words, he took mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, which are the elements of God, and from a human level, he excelled in every one of them. He utilized intelligence from mind. He utilized action to make sure his actions were spiritual actions. He utilized spirit, which is the only substance, because he focused on spirit as substance instead of what everyone else believed substance to be, which was matter. He utilized spiritual senses, which is soul. Seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. With a spiritual animus, not a material enslavement. He utilized principle with system and structure. His parables, for example, were all very impersonal, just as principle is impersonal. I mean, there's no personality involved in mathematics or in chemistry or in physics or in homemaking. There's a principle involved in everything that anyone does, and that is the concept of principle at a maximum level, if they're striving to be perfect in what they're doing. Life is living the qualities of God, living the qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, truth, and love. Life is not being passive, it's being active. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. Our life should be following Isaiah when he says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Mary Baker Eddy says, in fact, she quotes Isaiah on this very thing and says, don't try to accomplish everything in one day. And of course, Einstein said, we should try every day to gain a little more knowledge about the absolute holy, the holy God. And he said compounding was the eighth wonder of the world. In other words, if you add a little bit today, that increases the foundation on which you work from for tomorrow. And we can make time anything we want. We can say that what we learned this moment, it adds to what we knew before this moment. And of course, moment is the smallest measurement of time. It's not mathematically limited. Truth is making sure we're on the right path. It is our, what are we conscious of? Are we conscious of the truth, or are we focusing on mistakes, error, problems? And what is our motive about doing this? Are we involved in trying to improve ourselves in order to help all mankind, in order to project out into the world what we should be doing, which is being a lighthouse? In other words, being an example of perfection. Not an example of personality, but an example of perfect intelligence, perfect substance, perfect spiritual sense. In other words, are we looking through the lens of spirit when we're doing our seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling? Not focusing on personality, not focusing on anything that has to do with matter or a so-called mortal mind. In fact, quantum physics proved over 100 years ago that what we see and we think is opaque is really energy that is moving at a high rate of speed that makes it look opaque. It's like a hologram. There can be a projection of something. It can be an individual. It could be a scene, a scenery, landscape, a wild animal. It could be anything. A house. And we could put our hand right into what looks to be opaque. But it's not. It's just imagery. Everything about us is imagery. Remember what Shakespeare said, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And of course, Mary Baker Eddy, when she talks about, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. In other words, if we seek the truth, we will be free of the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. And if we realize that our thoughts project out to being our experience, we have the formula for success. Success in being on the right path of infinite progression, striving for concrete being. Now, of course, we can never reach it because God is infinite. So we keep improving and learning more about the infinite and do our best to reflect the new ideas that we gained a better understanding of than what we had the moment before. It's always good to think about the definition of God whenever we do any studying of any kind whatsoever. And Mary Baker Eddy gives us clues about what God is all throughout the textbook, and very specifically gives us definitions that are in short sentences. One of them is in Recapitulation on page 465. And of course, Recapitulation chapter 14 is a summary of chapter 1 through 13. And that's the chapter that she instructed the people that she approved to teach other students to use as their basic theme, their basic rules and basic source for teaching. Of course, she doesn't approve because she's not here anymore. She doesn't approve who the teachers are, which means that there should be nobody teaching Christian Science under any kind of a bureaucratic system. But of course, that's overlooked, as well as almost everything else in the manual, by the bureaucracy. But that doesn't mean that we are restricted in anything we do. Anyone that wants to learn mathematics, are they controlled by bureaucracy or music or chemistry or anything, any principle. If anyone wants to learn a principle about anything, they can go and do the research on their own. They can find resources to read or listen to or watch videos about, tutorials to learn about it. And then, of course, they should make it their own. Anything they learn, they should be recording. Whenever they study, they should be recording it, because that embeds it in their thought. And, of course, we want to make sure that we are only reading and using resources of whatever method, whatever media type that is, from only the people that are considered to be the top experts. And I'm talking about from a spiritual viewpoint, not from a government standpoint that is trying to promote some kind of a dogma. So, what is this definition of God? It says that God, on page 465, is incorporeal, not a body, divine. There's no flaws in divinity, supreme. That means it's the top. There's nothing above it. And infinite means there's no limit. So God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. What? Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And I've already given a quick little summary of what each of those mean. But a beautiful book is by Helen Wright called Your Divinity Revealed. And in it, she has 13 chapters there. And in it, there are 7 chapters that are devoted to each one of the 7 synonymous terms of which I just named. So we should be continuously studying that book. It is really a textbook on the synonymous terms in a very organized, coherent way. And she shows how they're connected within each other and how they are connected to each other. In other words, all the different elements that make up mind, she shows how they are related. And the same with each one of the 7, and how mind is related to spirit, for example, and spirit to the other 5, the other 6, I mean. So she shows how each one is related to each of the others. Another excellent individual that has given us some good light on that is Maria Brunson. And she shows how all of these synonymous terms connect with each other and how it can be used in approaching a method of healing. So, what is life really about? Mary Baker Eddy had a metaphysical college from 1881 to 1898. She disbanded it in 1898 because she felt like she was doing her teaching through her publications. So she had, 17 years of Christian Science journals, and she started the Sentinel a few years later. So there was, 15 years of that, or 10 to 15 years of the Sentinel. And obviously she had 16 books, and plus she had the textbook of 1875, which was the first version, and then she had the final version, which was number 432, that was published in 1910. So she gave us everything there is that we need to know about Christian Science. And she stated that the textbook did complete the full statement of Christian Science. Now, this word Christian Science is very interesting. And listen to what Dr. Albert Einstein, which everyone that has studied of any degree of anything knows who Einstein is. And he said, science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. Now, this is a man that's known for his excellence in physics. He discovered the formula for relativity back around 1900. And he's making this kind of a statement about religion and science. In other words, they're inextricably connected. But Mary Baker Eddy is the only one that understood that. Of course, she understood that long before Einstein did, because she discovered Christian Science in 1866, and he made that statement probably somewhere around, I don't know, 1940 or 1950. So she had discovered that, you know, many, many years, you know, 70, 80 years before he did. And Christian Science is exactly that. It is science and it is religion. The religion is the religion of Christianity, which is believing that Christ Jesus was Lord and Master, not God, but Lord and Master, and was able to heal any obstacle that was in front of him. The only thing that he had a problem with is when people resisted it and had no confidence that they could be healed. And believe it or not, that's where he grew up, in Galilee. So he didn't stay in Galilee very long, and he went to other places. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, it is divided into 7 days of creation, which it clearly states there. And it says, this is day one, this is day two, and so forth. And before God did anything, he says, let us. Let, L-E-T. In other words, we have to be open in our thought to elevating it to a higher level of spirituality, or nothing is going to be experienced by us. God can do everything, but we're going to be blind to it. You know, just like Einstein says. You know, he says that religion is lame without science, and science without religion is blind. Well, we are blind if we're not going to open our thought to a higher level of spirituality. That's the first step in understanding anything about what God is. We're not going to understand anything. We're going to be blind to it because our thought is going to be closed. That means that all of the beautiful thoughts that are out there in the atmosphere of spirit, which is the only real atmosphere of anything, which is really the manifestation of God, which is included as a part of the source, which is God, because the source has to include the manifestation. Otherwise, what is it a source of? A manifestation has to include the source. Otherwise, what is it a manifestation of? So the source and the manifestation are absolutely directly connected, for neither one can exist without the other. That's right. God cannot exist without us. Otherwise, what is God a source of? He's a source of his manifestation. It's manifestation, because God is not a person. God is qualities. The qualities cannot exist unless they apply to something, and they apply to the manifestation, just like a painter trying to paint a beautiful landscape. If he's not painting the landscape, he's not a painter. A sculpturist, if he's not sculpturing, he's not a sculpturist. A pianist, if he's not performing, he's not a pianist. He can't just go on vacation and be not even close to a piano and be a pianist. A pianist is someone that is performing. Action is kinetic. It is not passive. So, whatever we are, we must be doing it. The Bible says the talents we are given, we must improve. And of course, what does Frederick L. Rawson, one of the finest practitioners of all time, what does he say? He said, our purpose in being, our purpose in existing, is to make other people happy. Now, what does that mean? It means sharing the spiritual qualities, being a lighthouse, letting it shine as an example, reflecting it out into the atmosphere of thought so that all may benefit. Jesus showed us that healing was possible not for just his disciples, for all that exists, for everything and everyone. He said, greater works than these thou shalt do. He didn't say, you disciples. He's talking to everyone that is listening. We can tune into Jesus right now by reading what he was quoted as saying in the Bible. He's speaking to us right now. Are we listening? Are we seeking? Are we on that infinite progression, striving for concrete being? Are we making an effort? Mary Baker Eddy stopped a dozen times a day to make sure that she was only thinking in a positive way about everyone, everything, every event, all thought, speech, and action. A dozen times a day. You know, let's assume that, you know, once an hour. She prayed three times a day specifically for all humanity to assist in them being spiritually inspired so they could transform their thought and overcome any problem that they seemed to be facing, whether it was a lack of something or a sin or a sickness, disease, even death. Three times a day. Daniel did the same thing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, same thing. They were praying. Everyone was punished. Or they tried to punish him. They tried to kill John by putting him in a pot of boiling oil. Obviously, they tried to kill Jesus by crucifixion. That didn't work. He resurrected. They killed Mary Baker Eddy through mental murder. She made a statement to that effect, gave it to one of her, what she thought was one of her trusted disciples. He ignored it for 35 years. Finally, when he's on his deathbed, he finally did what she said. He made the announcement that that's what she said. It was hidden for 35 years. In the end, we are all alone. It's us and God. Forget family, forget friends, forget husband, wife. It's between us and God. The President of the United States is finding that out. Well, he probably knew it a long time ago. He knew that if something was needing to be done, he had to do it and not depend on someone else. And he's been doing it without hesitation ever since he was elected into his first term in 2016. It's between us and God. In fact, it says in the Bible we have to work out our own salvation. It says, with fear and trembling, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, what is fear? Fear is not knowing about something. It's ignorance. So we have to overcome the fear. How do we overcome fear? With love. What is love? Love is completeness, wholeness, fulfillment. How do we get that? We have to study and practice mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Can we do stupid things and think we're going to grow from it? No. Doing intelligent things enables us to grow. Doing stupid things, if we wake up and learn from it, then we can go forward from it. But if we stay down, if we give up and say, oh, I can't do that, well, then that's exactly what your experience is going to be. It's going to be limitation. Mind includes creative capability and force, capacity, functionality, facility, performance, because that's what you're going to get when you put those features together, because God is the only action. So when the action of God is applied or recognized as being the only action, then we're going to have performance. That is, if we realize that we have the capacity that we need to do what needs to be done, and that we have the capability. God doesn't give anyone a challenge that he cannot overcome. And it's not God giving us the challenge. It's we are not seeing that there's a power and an intelligence that solves the problem. We give it to ourselves because of our blindness at the moment. So we have to take those blinders off, just like Genesis 2 says, and there went up a mist. Well, we got to bring out the sunshine of spiritual enlightenment and get rid of the mist, get rid of the fog. We have the capability because God is what we look to. We don't look to brain. Brain is nothing, a pulpy substance. It's a fake of the real mind. The real mind is spiritual, made out of spirit, flawless. Mortal mind is made out of a pulpy substance. Limited, up and down, in and out. Mistake after mistake. 2 times 3 equals 17. That's what mortal mind tells us. Mortal mind tries to make everything that is true seem false, and everything that is false seem true. That's how mortal mind functions. It's a lie. It's a lie compounded upon a lie. Material, the sense of material existence is a lie compounded upon a lie. That's what it is. The eighth wonder of the world that Einstein called compounding is for spirit, not matter. Compounding matter gets you nowhere. Compounding spirit, that keeps you on the path of infinite progression, striving for concrete being. That's where the real thrill is, because we're overcoming limitation with every new little thing we're learning. Everything we conquer, or really, when we get ourselves out of the way and see that it's being conquered by intelligence and wisdom and knowing and spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, and living a life of God's qualities and abiding by a principle that is the real system and structure made of spirit, which is always in balance, always harmonious. Truth, staying on the path, pure motive, and love, which is the qualities that are revealing to us the completeness. Mary Baker Eddy gave us a paragraph that she calls the diapason of heaven. And she, in her college classes from 1881 to 1898, she gave 7 of them, one for each of the 7 terms. And since today we're talking about life, we've already covered the previous 4, which is mind, spirit, soul, and principle. And what does she say about life in her Diapason of Heaven paragraph? She says, life is holy. We must hallow this word, for it is a sacred name for God. Declare often, there is only one life, and that is God. There is no personal life. My life is God, an infinite, incorporeal, all-encompassing, all-present, all-active, everlasting life. Declare that God good is the only life of man and the universe. Life is divine. Divine life is my God, and my God is life. Life is enthroned in my consciousness. This is the Word of God. Declare all the truths about life. Claim this revealed life as yours. All of life is right where you are right now. We don't have to go somewhere. That's the end of the diapason, where she says, all of life is right where you are right now. And some thoughts on what she said. We don't have to go anywhere to experience life, because everything is within. The kingdom of God is within each one of us. Another one of the finest practitioners is Wentworth Winslow. And he said, imagine yourself in a room that has a phone and a radio. And the radio is tuned in to station KOG, Kingdom of God, and doing nothing but announcing the qualities of God and the qualities of man as God's reflection and the relationship between God and man. All truth is being broadcast from station KOG, Kingdom of God. But the phone is the opposite. It's like mortal mind. It tries to ring to get attention. And boy, if we pick it up, we're in trouble. Because then we've let the salesman in the door. We've let mortal mind announce itself, which will try to convince us that it is real and that God is unreal. It'll try to convince us that God is a God of good and evil, that God creates tornadoes and earthquakes and storms and everything else, kills people. You know, the news has people convinced that it's the will of God. It's a province of God when someone is prematurely dead. Any death is premature. Life is the reality. In fact, that was one of the things Jesus proved. When he ascended, John ascended, others ascended. They proved that life is alive, not dead. They proved that God is all, not just in a particular place where we don't happen to be, and therefore we were killed in an accident or whatever. I shall read again what Mary Baker Eddy says about the diapason of heaven. Life is holy. We must hallow this word, for it is a sacred name for God. A sacred name for God. Declare often, there is only one life, and that is God. There is no personal life. My life is God, an infinite, incorporeal, all-encompassing, all-present, all-active, everlasting life. Declare that God, good, is the only life of man and the universe. Life is divine. Divine life is my God, and my God is life. Life is enthroned in my consciousness. Think about that. Life is enthroned in my consciousness. This is the word of God. Declare all the truths about life. Claim this revealed life as yours. All of life is right where you are right now. The kingdom of God is within us. That's what we must understand. We must declare it until we have a more and more clear understanding of what Mary Baker Eddy is telling us, what the Bible is telling us, what Jesus was telling us. What do you think Jesus was telling us when he resurrected or when he ascended? He was telling us that life is eternal, not limited. Life can't be terminated because of a king or a nail or anything else, accident, you name it. Life has no power to do anything in terms of being destroyed. Life doesn't self-destroy, and there's no power that can destroy life. I'm talking life with a capital L, which is a term for God, which is what we reflect. Every good thing we do, we are reflecting life, eternal life, the God life, the same life that Jesus demonstrated. It's up to each one of us individually. Highly recommend that book, Your Divinity Revealed, and study the chapter on life. It will enlighten you with the truth about life. We have a page on the website that is, What is Life? Or excuse me, God is life. It's in the menu under treatments and under topics. It says God and the seven terms for God. 8 different pages full of facts, articles, MP3s, graphics. Our focus in this recording has been on life. We must know that nothing can interfere with the treatment. The treatment is full of power, the power of God. Nothing can dilute it. Nothing can deflect it. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can interfere with it in any way. And nothing can reverse the truth in this treatment. Nothing. The only power is God. There is no other power. There is no competing power. God is all there is. God is all in all source, all manifestation. And that source includes its own manifestation, which means that our connection with God is permanent. Unequivocal, cannot be penetrated or interfered with by anything or anyone at any time, because our life is within our own spiritualized consciousness, which is a reflection of the consciousness of God. Amen.